Welcome to another edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
I am Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson, along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore. Mike, good to see you again.
Happy May.
Happy May. Well, May is just about over with here.
It is, but happy Memorial Day.
Yes, happy Memorial Day weekend, and we can take a minute here as we are getting into Memorial Day weekend. Of course, it's fun to go out and grill and party and have a good time, but there is a more substantial meaning to the weekend that we are in right now.
Absolutely. I mean, it is good to reflect on the service that has been provided to our country to make it what it is today, and I appreciate the fact that we can do that this weekend.
And appreciate the fact that because of that sacrifice, you and I get to sit here and do what we do because of, again, the sacrifice made by our service men and women.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we probably forget that on a normal day-to-day basis, or we don't appreciate it enough. And Memorial Day is a day that we can remember the sacrifice that others have made so we can do what we do.
So take a little time this weekend in and amongst the fun to, like Mike said, reflect on why it is we're getting Monday off and why we get together and Splash Central opens and things of that nature. Put a little thought into why it is we're doing all this weekend. This month on the program, of course, as always, it is your program. We would like to hear from you, whether it's comments, questions, and in fact, Mike, we've had to put it off a couple months because we've had some pre-planned shows, but we will get to a listener question coming up later in the program regarding some county zoning issues. And we're going to expound on zoning, too, because you guys have a new Facebook page that's kind of a sidelight to the state's attorney's Facebook page. So we'll talk about that coming up. But it's your show. We want to hear from you. You can get a hold of me by emailing news@kokk.com. You can also message the Performance Radio News page on Facebook or get a hold of me on Twitter a couple of different ways, @ZachNelsonRadio and @PRNewsHuron.
Yeah, and I'm available on Twitter @BeadleCountySA. We have a Facebook page as well. Email is info@bcsa.us or mmore@bcsa.us.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Can't you find something easier?
I don't know. I tried to make it as simple as possible, but it never seems
it
to
never,
work out.
It never rolls off the tongue that way,
does it? Because when I tell people that, you know, I thought BCSA, but when I tell people that, I must not enunciate those letters correctly because a lot of times I have... They think it's BESA, or, you know, I don't know what they...
I think you just try to say it so fast that it just gets mumbled up into a mush mouth thing, but that's me. It's all right.
It's simple.
Nobody's perfect. You know, this program has the semi-radio professional and the and then the legal brain.
Yeah, right.
So...
We don't know
it
what
happens.
We're doing, right?
No.
Is that kind of the basic, what our point we're making?
I guess so.
And people, you know, if they come down to the courthouse to pay their taxes or to get their license plates, they can stop in my office and see me. That's probably the easiest way.
Right. If you write the question down and just give it to Mike in person.
You could slide it under the door. You could give it to the staff.
Is there room under the door to slide paperwork?
There could be. There's like a little.
You don't need much.
There's an air pocket there. You could get that thing under there.
We do want to hear from you and then obviously share what you have on the program here because, again, as Mike states, he's a public official. He works for you, and that's a part of what this show is all about. We do want to take a little time to thank our sponsor on the program, and that is the Montgomery Agency of Huron. And you'll hear from the Montgomery Agency as we go through the program for all of your real estate needs. Matt put the commercials, a couple of different commercials together. You'll hear those multiple times as we go through the program. And I'd like to thank the gang at Montgomery Agency for helping us to bring you the Mike Moore Show.
Right. Good to be associated with them. And if you are looking for a house, I guess we should say you should go see them, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you go see them.
And then, you know, when they had sponsored us for now for a while, and we used to talk about, and we'll do that again. This is Saturday. Tomorrow, you know, they might not have open houses this weekend because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Right, but right.
If they have open houses through the summer, if you go to the open house and mention the Mike Moore Show, free cookie.
You better be able to back up the cookie thing.
Hey, it's not me. I'm not going to be there, but
well,
the Montgomery Agency better have some cookies.
Well, then you better tell
saying,
somebody at Montgomery Agency to have some cookies present because if they show up to Jim and go, hey, Moore says there's cookies around, he's going to get on the phone and go, what are you talking about? People are trying to ask me where these cookies are at. I don't have any cookies.
I'll text him on the next break that there better be cookies at any open house this summer for his sponsorship of our show. And we do appreciate it. It is nice to have a sponsor, and it's nice of them to step up to the plate and do that.
Absolutely. So, again, a big thanks to the Montgomery Agency bringing you the Mike Moore Show here on KOKK. All right, Mike, let's talk, as we try to do in the first segment, try to get caught up on things going on, and as we were having our pre-show meeting, really, and I look at it from a different perspective as newsworthiness or a significant court case. Obviously, to the people involved, there are significant court cases, but really not a whole lot of your office has been, knock on wood, not dealing with a lot of high profile cases here in the last couple of years, really.
You're correct. And I don't think we should talk about this because something will probably happen now. So I will blame you, but no, hopefully nothing happens, but you're right. I mean, we had a run of some high profile cases back in, 2008, 2009, 2010. So now it's somebody else's turn. I think we've done that in my 22 years in that office. We've had our share of high profile cases. So it is nice that we still have very significant cases that we're dealing with, that, victims care about, that we care about, but
a lot of those don't make it to the media, whether it's radio, TV, newspaper.
You're right, and it's interesting to me, and you probably talk more about that, and about why a particular case makes it to the media, and a lot of it has to do with timing, when it happens, and the news cycle, and different things like that. And then sometimes it's the case itself, the facts about the case, the charges involved, the parties involved. So any of those things can have an impact on how those cases play out and why some are more in the news than others. But you're right. I do appreciate the fact that we're not have been in the news as much. But the same thing when we talk about accountability, I do appreciate the fact when we are in the news, because the more of public of what I do, the decisions I make, what happens in court, the more the public can hold me accountable for my decisions. And I think the better off the system is, because without the public holding us accountable, the system doesn't work. I mean, you didn't elect me just to go in there and make my independent decisions. I have to reflect what the community thinks and make sure that I'm making the right decisions.
You know, and from it's an interesting standpoint talking about newsworthiness and what is news. And it's a question that in the 7 years I've been doing news here at the radio station, I've asked myself that question a lot, especially when you get flack from, and it's funny because usually the only time you're catching flack is from somebody directly involved because they don't want their name in the news, which my response to them would be, well, don't associate yourself with people who get in trouble, or don't do things that would get you in trouble in the first place. But what actually constitutes news itself is a decision that somebody like me, as a news director of a radio station, or as the editors and reporters of a newspaper, or the assignment editor of a television station, sits and looks at it. What does this story have? You know, would the public, the greater public at large, find interest in this? I know a general rule of thumb that I use, and is kind of what was parlaying me into this, is if the police department puts out a press release, it's something that they think is probably of high interest to the public. And that will be something that I will in turn try to follow through the court system and then contact your office about. Case in point, we had the methamphetamine house, I believe it was about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And actually on the day of this recording, which is this past Thursday, the police department released the list of people. It's very similar to how you put the court list on your Facebook page.
Right.
People want to see who's in trouble. It's sad to a point, but it's a part of what today's society has become. Everybody, it's no different than listening to a scanner. You hear the sirens, you go to your scanner because you want to hear who's involved, who's getting into the horse do.
You're absolutely right.
You know, and absolutely. So all of that plays into what's going to make a story newsworthy versus not. Like I said, if the police department does something with it, then I'm going to follow it because it's significant. Obviously, methamphetamine is huge. It's in the news all over the place. Cases of it are rising. Its use is on the rise. It's a big thing. It's newsworthy. But there really isn't a formula that you follow that says, okay, this is news versus something else.
Absolutely.
You know, that's right. News. If there is high public interest, I go back to the Warner Fajardo case. There were a lot of people who were angered by what he allegedly did and then was found to have done through a court. And it just shows that that's how the process works. You know, he was innocent until that jury found him guilty of the crimes he was accused of.
Right.
And because of the, and again, it gets back to the nature of the crime. It involves children. And anytime something involves children, it gets people really, really fired up. Hate to say this, but it's the elephant in the room. It involves sex.
Yeah.
And when you put that on top of children being involved, there are just so many emotions involved in that. So many things can make a story, a case, something of that nature newsworthy.
Well, yeah, in a situation like that, it's everyone's worst nightmare. Anybody that has kids is very concerned about their safety. They see something like that happen locally in a town that we all feel safe in. We all feel, you know, Huron's our home. We feel relatively safe here. And then to see something like that happen here concerns people. And they want to see how it plays out. They want to see what happens. They want to make sure the system's working correctly. They are appalled by what happened. You know, you're right. There's all kinds of emotion. A lot of them are angry. The best thing about it is, I think you're right. People are, for the most part, are going to, you know, they obviously, because the arrest has some kind of opinion, you think probably something happened, but they get a fair trial still, because all those jurors will sit there and say, you know what, we're going to wait and hear what is presented here in court, and then we're going to make our decision. And if it's beyond a reasonable doubt, they're going to convict. And that's how the system's supposed to work. You know, one of the interesting things that I've always said, when we ask jurors, have you formed an opinion? Well, they've heard some of the facts, you know, and if it's 2 + 2, well, that's equals 4. Well, they heard the facts. You know, if this, in this particular case, if this person got the girls drunk and then had sex with them, well, most people would agree that that's a crime. Well, but we don't know if that's the facts. So if those are the facts, you have an opinion. Yeah, the guy's guilty. But if you don't know what the facts are, and you don't know until you hear the facts, then you say, hey, I'm willing to listen to the facts. But if it's 2 + 2, well, then it's going to be 4 and you're going to be guilty. And when we go through that process, when we pick a jury, and it's really good that the public will sit there and hold the state to their burden. And if we don't meet it, they'll quit. And if we do, they'll find the person guilty.
And it's interesting that you talk about jurors, because I like to follow a case from its beginning, which is the actual selection of the jurors. It's not just when you guys start presenting your cases. And one of the things that it always kind of gets in my craw when the judge will get up and say, you know, what you've heard in the media are not the facts of this case. Well, I'm not running around. I mean, I'm sitting in here writing down what I'm hearing and presenting that to my listeners. I'm not making this stuff up. So, I mean, I understand why they do it. But, right. You know, as a reporter, it's always something that just grinds into the back of my head. Like, what do you think I'm doing here? Not, you know, telling a story that I'm not actually seeing and being a part of.
Right. I think that's the judge, and we need to be better about asking that question, because instead of, they say, hey, you know, whatever you read in the paper, you need to set that aside and base your decision on what's in court, what the evidence is. And because I think it's unfair to ask them that, because if the facts are as Zach Nelson reported them, then he's guilty. If they're not, if it's not that, then, you know, then I don't know what I'm going to do. But that's a tough question for jurors to answer. And I think sometimes defense attorneys especially are unfair on those jurors by saying, well, do you have an opinion? Well, of course they have an opinion. I mean, that's what humans are. They all have opinions about everything. The question is, can you set aside what you've heard before, keep an open mind, listen to what you hear in court, and then make a decision? And most people will do that properly and correctly, and that's why our system works.
All right, we're going to have to get to my point that I was going to try to make originally.
We have a point?
Like 3 minutes ago. What's our point? I don't know what it is. We're going to have to do that after the break. Coming up this month, we're going to get to our question, talking about some zoning issues. We're going to talk about the Attorney General has come out with his crime report for South Dakota for the year. We'll try to touch on that. And if you're a regular listener, so much more that we don't even know what we're going to talk about.
The first 10 minutes of the show have been, we didn't even plan that. So
15 minutes.
So we can't even guarantee people that we're going to get to what you just talked about. We'll try to get to the ordinance thing. But other than that, there's no guarantees.
We need to take a break. You're listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.